Ingrid Newkirk 20 years ago, and how would she look at Ingrid Newkirk now?
God, what a horrid question. Do you mean 20 years ago? Because we've had the group for 27 years ago.
Yeah, 20 years ago, the person that you were back then and the person you are now.
You had less wrinkles. I don't know the answer to that. I really don't.
Do you feel like you've achieved a lot of the things that you had...
I'm never looking ahead. I mean, all I want is to reduce suffering and to get people to think of animals in a different way. And that's true today as it was then. And perhaps I was... No, I can't say I was less or more optimistic. I really can't. I'm hopeless. I think it was just me, only younger.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Same you.
I think so.
Do you think other people would say that?
I think so. I don't know, really.
Do you have any regrets about any of the things that any choices you've made?
Professionally? Because that's what we're talking about.
Personally.
I'm not going to talk about personally.
Just in general, like just your life.
These are just terrible questions. Because I think you can always look back and in hindsight, knowing the results of what you've done, think, well, maybe I could have been more strategic then, or if I had only known, maybe I could have pushed harder then. I think in compromising, sometimes that I am, people may find it surprising, but I'm so anxious not to lose ground, but to gain ground so that we can move ahead, that I might take less than if I'd known I could have pushed harder, I could have got.
See, terrible questions for beautiful answers.
Oh, poof.
No, it's true. The whole nature of this interview is it's going to be on a permanence, like the PDF. So, you know, to a degree, as a person, you know, and...
I don't know. I mean, this business is, I am very easy to cubbyhole. As someone said to me today, they'd seen the HBO special, and they said, are you really a sad, obsessed person? And I thought, no, I'm actually not a sad person, except when I lie awake at night trying... in winter, thinking of all the animals out without shelter, and then I'm sad, but wouldn't...
Oh, I'm good, thank you.
Thank you. Wouldn't anybody be sad if they had a heart? It's just that I've seen so much. You know, in Taiwan, standing in a slaughterhouse for dogs, you have to get through it. And to me, having foster care chickens, who I know if anyone took a chicken in the way they would take a dog in, they would come to love that chicken and see that that chicken had personality. And that chicken would wait for you to come home in the evening. They can't laugh this off because it's actually true. Chickens develop bonds with people the same way dogs do. They know you've rescued them. If you've rescued them, they'll sit on your lap while you're watching TV. Having had those relationships, it's just as hard for me to stand in a chicken slaughterhouse. But if anyone had had those experiences, they would feel the same way. So I think it's hard to pigeonhole me as that. I'm not. I'm usually joyous.
You seem sad, though, in that movie.
Oh, really? Oh, good.
You know, it's interesting because one of the things that I picked out from the film was that people always find something to criticize. Mm-hmm. If you were charging PETA $1 million a year for your salary, and you were driving around in a Mercedes Benz, you'd be seen as
Aston Martin.
And the fact that you don't do that, oh, you're sad and obsessed.
Right. You know, thank you.
It's always one thing or another. You know, it's
thank
you're
you.
Either, you're either sucking, you know, milking it all. For its worth.
Yeah.
You know,
or you're some, you know, weird aesthetic. Yes.
What do you think drives people to make those
to always jump toward the negative spin on...
It's human nature, isn't it? Because, I mean, you see the same thing in, at a silly level with celebrities. They love them, and then they tear them down. Or they're just salivating, hoping for somebody to trip and fall. I think it's just a nasty part of human nature. And especially if you think somebody has done something that makes you a little guilty. It's very hard to overcome people's guilt, because I know I was the same way when somebody first suggested to me that I should not eat animals. I was quite defensive about it, and I remember that. And there are many other things along the way that I've had to fight out in my own head and get rid of the defensiveness. So I think people are defensive, and they don't want someone to tell them what to do, and they know that a lot of their life is frivolous. I had an assistant once who was marvelous, and he left one evening, and I said, "Can you just finish this before you go?" And he said, "I've got a life." And I said, "Yeah, me too, but mine doesn't consist of playing video games for 5 hours, you know." But as you get older, I think that your perspective might change. If something really, whatever it is, if something drives you, you think, "I've only got so much time." So you think, "This is really important. I want to accomplish this," not, you know.
Yeah. Where do you derive your strength from? You know, and what's behind that question is when I was in law school, you know, I did a chihuahua rescue. I maybe saved about 20 dogs. And I thought that it would be this great thing, and it would be so fulfilling, and it ended up tearing me apart.
Yeah, it does.
You know, and that it's nowhere near the level
yes.
of your investigators, what they go through. But when I was hearing that, I was like, God, I can imagine I'd be a terrible investigator. I'd be the guy, you know, just like, oh my God, like getting crazy. No, I probably would have done the videos though.
Yeah.
But it was very, you know, I had one 14-pound dog that was raped by a man.
Yeah.
You know, insides all torn up. I had a dog that I didn't think was going to make it, and the only way that I could get that dog to survive was to put in my blender a mix of heavy cream and dog food and take
a
syringe.
Yes.
And the only strength that that dog had was to bite my fingers as I did it. And, you know, those things aside, it's like, God, this is terrible what people do.
You're
and
a good man.
And it hurt, but it was a hurtful thing
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, it's very painful.
You know, where do you drive your strength, A, to continue on, and B, not to just hate humanity?
I definitely don't hate humanity, because I am one. I think we're weak. I think our species loves to think of itself as all important and knowing and clever, and we're not. I think we're very fundamentally, we like, you know, a chocolate soda, and we want to stay in bed late, and we like some rubbish on TV. And it's just the way we are. If everyone could come to America from all over the world, they probably would, so they could all get fat and rich, and we could all lie around and do almost nothing and collect unemployment. But anyway, or whatever, you know, substitute something there. I forget where we are. But humanity, I see humanity. You know, anthropologists have said that it's only human conceit that has separated us from the other apes. For starters, the apes, that really there is no such thing as a hominid, that we're probably all in it. They say there are hominids and pongids, and we're probably all in it together, that it really, we're the same, probably, order, taxa. I see chimpanzees are very much like human beings, and they're very aggressive, and the males go out together and hunt, and they'll take apart a colobus monkey just for the fun of it, like a gang on the street, and the males beat their chests and have a full of testosterone, and they gang bang the females, which, you know, happens every day if you read the newspaper, and they are lazy. And I think, but they, if you put them in captivity, they throw their feces at you. But they don't mean it. I mean, that's just their nature. It's not as if they sat there thinking this up. It's their nature. And I think it's, no, it's just they're angry and they're upset and they're greedy and they're lazy and they're agitated. And I think that's the same with human beings, is that we're all a bit like that, and we have to discipline ourselves, or we can't go around saying how great we are. We have to have some discipline, not be brats and, you know, fat little kids. So I don't hate humanity, and I forgot what the first one was. Oh, how do I get my strength? Oh, where do I get my memory is what you're going to ask next.
You do have a great memory.
No, I honestly don't, but selective memory. I don't know that it's strength so much as I am driven by, if I see a cruelty in front of me, which I have many times, and I have the power to stop it, then something comes from inside me and I will try to stop it. And I will, you know, really mow people over to try to get to an injured animal, for example, or move heaven and earth to get something fixed. But I think more than that, it's I have a strong sense of guilt. And if I'm not doing anything, I don't know how I could just forget that the cruelty is there or the pain is there. I don't think I could just decide I'm going to the beach and I'm going to live on the beach and be a beach bum for the rest of my life and pretend it doesn't exist. I think it's going to haunt me. And so I probably do it to ease my own pain in part of knowing that it exists, having to do something. You know.
Yeah, I do know.
I'm so glad you did that, and you didn't give that one away.
Oh, goodness.
That one stayed, yes! Oh, yes!